John chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. We'll stop there and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the time that you've given us for being in your word tonight, Lord. We pray now that you'd bless the message that you've prepared for tonight. Pray that you'd help me in presenting it to the people. Pray that you'd help them in understanding the things of your word tonight, Lord. And just pray again that you've guided and directed everything that's said and done. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so here in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, the Bible is giving us an account of the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after his resurrection. If you take a quick look at chapter 21, verse 14, they say this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. So that's what's happening here, okay? We know the first two times, and now this is the third time, okay? And in verse 2 and 3, we have the setup of the scenario of how and slash why he showed himself to his disciples. And it says that there were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the two sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. The Bible to me is a funny book. I like the way that God kind of sprinkles in a little bit of humor, at least I perceive as humor, in his word. Right, he's naming off Simon Peter, he's naming off Thomas, he's naming off Nathanael, and the two sons of Zebedee, and two other guys. I don't care anymore. Right, it's just kind of just blows them in there, but they're there, right? And it's important that they're there, and we'll see it in a little bit, because Simon Peter said, I go a-fishing. He didn't say, I'm going fishing. Anybody else want to come with me? He just said, I'm going fishing. And the others that were sitting there were like, hey, yeah, I'm in. Count me in for that. All right. It also says that they went forth in verse 3. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Okay. So Peter tosses this comment out here, I'm going fishing, the guys go, we're in, and they all go right away. There's a sense of, we're not waiting around, we're not discussing this, we're not, let's pray about it first and being spiritual about it, right? They just all went. They piled in their donkey, I don't know, and went to the dock and said, we're going fishing, right? There's no discussion that's going on there. But then it describes at the end of the verse their fruitfulness. That night, they caught nothing, right? They caught nothing. Now, it's interesting that they caught nothing because this was their profession, right? 3 years ago, before Jesus called them, this had been their profession. This is what they did for a living, right? But then Christ called them away from that. And if you take a look at Matthew chapter 4, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. That was their job. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So now what's interesting there
is that Simon, sons of Zebedee, right? They had a profession. They were fishermen. They were doing their job, minding their own business. Jesus comes up to them and says, follow me, but he doesn't stop there. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So I don't know if you realize what happened right there is that Jesus just changed their profession. Okay? They were fishers. Follow me and change. I will make you fishers of men. So when you see them again in John 21, when that night they caught nothing, well, that was really no longer their profession. They were supposed to be fishers of men at that point. And they retreated back into what they had been. All right? So 3 years after following Christ, no longer fishers of men. In verses 4 through 6 of John 21, go back there. John chapter 21, verses 4 through 6, we see, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. I find it funny, the way Jesus interacts with his disciples there. They're not supposed to be fishers of fish anymore. They're supposed to be fishers of men. And it's proven out, and they've toiled all night, and they've caught nothing. And Jesus is on the shore, and I don't know, I perceive it as taunting them a little bit, just mocking them a little bit. Children, do you have any meat? Did you catch anything? And the ex-fishermen respond back, no. Right? No. Right? When that's your used to be your job. That's your job. And you can't perform the task of your job. As a man, I find that frustrating. Right? And I'm sure that there are others that feel that same way. Right? But may not want to say it, and that's fine. But that's the truth of it. You are expected. I'm a fisherman. I'm supposed to be able to catch fish. And I have to answer, no, I've got nothing. And then, to make it even funnier, is that Jesus then tells them, well, did you cast on the right side of the ship? Cast on the right side of the ship, and you'll find. Now, those of you who have ever gone fishing, I'm sure feel that when you put your hook or your net or whatever in on one side, that they're all sitting over there laughing at you, right? But think about who's in control. Think about who's in control. Where they're tossing off the net and God has the fish here. Right? They move the boat and they go, we'll toss over here. And the fish are like right here. Right? So close. But you get what? Nothing. You have to answer no. Right? Think about what's happening in that the act that they are committing is being done in their flesh. Right? I'm a fisherman. I can fish. I can catch fish. Again, those of you who have ever gone fishing know that you can't catch anything unless God directs that fish to be dumb and go hump, and then you reel him in. Right? But that's what's happening here. So they cast on the right side. This is the right side. This is my right side, your left. My right side. So they cast on the right side. And what happens? They haul in this huge pile of fish, 253 it mentions later on. But that's what's going on here, okay? If you take a look and think about who provided for them, were they able to provide in their own strength? No, the Lord did. What's even funnier then is, this is just a funny chapter to me, I like it. Verse 9, go down to verse 9. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. So here, Jesus is taunting them a little bit. Hey, fishers of men out there, did you catch any fish? No. So what does Jesus have on the shore waiting for them when they get back? Fish and bread. Again, who sustained them? Who provides for them? Right? The Lord does. I just like that chapter. I think it's funny. Right? But we have a whole scenario, a ball of wax here that's an interesting tangle. So if we take a look, go back to John chapter 20. Right? John chapter 20. We're going to take a look at John 20 and then Luke 24 in just a little bit. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. We're not going to read it all, but this is the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, right? So we're fresh off the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? That's what's happening in verses 1 through 18. In verse 19, the Bible says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. All right, so here they're fresh off death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, right? That same evening, they're hiding in the upper room for fear of the Jews, right? So they're scared. They're hiding for fear. And then who shows up? Christ shows up in the middle of our locked room. Okay? And tells them, peace be unto you. If you keep your place there and turn into Luke chapter 24, we get a little bit more information as to what happened there. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 and 37. Luke 24, verses 36 and 37. So this is that same instance where Jesus shows up to them the first time. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Okay? So this is the emotional situation that they're in. Their Lord just died, resurrected, but they don't know fully what happened yet. They just know he's not there anymore. They're locked in the upper room with each other for fear of the Jews. Jesus shows up and they lose it. They're terrified, they're affrighted, they're scared. That's the emotional state that they're in. So when you're in an emotional state such as that, rational decisions usually don't get made that well, right? That whole part gets screwed up and you're just making crazy decisions, right? So if we take a look then at Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 49, Jesus is talking to them and says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. All right, so there's a lot of things that are going on there, and we'll sum it up with this. Jesus kind of gives them, hey, look, this was supposed to happen. This is part of the plan. Calm down, relax, it's all under control, okay? And then he gives them the indirect instructions of what's coming, right? Verse 47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. All right, he didn't say just yet, hey, I'm gonna have you guys do it, but that's what's coming later on at the Great Commission. So he kind of gives them a little foreshadowing of what's coming for them. But what he does give them is in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now we know that these instructions tell them to tarry, stay in Jerusalem. And just in case you're unclear about it, Jerusalem is a city. It says so. In the city of Jerusalem. Apparently they were unclear about it. Who knows? But you have that extra detail in there, and we'll get to why in a second. And they're supposed to wait there until they're endued with power from on high, which we know happens at Pentecost. Okay? John chapter 20, go back there. John chapter 20, verse 26. We'll pick up there. So we had the first appearance of Christ to his disciples. We've already talked about the third one. This is now the second one in verse 26. If you remember, Thomas was not there. If you take a look at verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Okay? So in verse 26, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within in that upper room, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Okay, and so now we have the whole interaction with Thomas, and, you know, touch my hands and my side and all that, and, you know, people who believe, and you didn't believe without having to see, but those who do are blessed, you know, that whole interaction that's there. Okay, so we have the first interaction, we have the indirect instructions, we have the direct instructions to stay in Jerusalem. We have the second appearance. Then we have John 21, which is the third appearance. And then at the end of Matthew, go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. We'll start at 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And in Mark, you have that same account there, which also includes his ascension. Okay, so we kind of have the timeline then of when Christ died, death, burial, and resurrection, his first appearance, where he gave them indirect instructions and direct instructions to stay in Jerusalem. We have the John 21 with the third appearance, and then we have the end of Matthew with the Great Commission, which references back to what we just read in John 21, where he actually tells them, look, you're the ones that's going to do the preaching and the baptizing all nations and go, right? And then he leaves, okay? So this is then the state that Peter is in. This is his timeline, and he's in the middle of it. The middle, near the beginning, middle beginning, somewhere in there, right? That's where he is. That's his mental state. He doesn't have the day of Pentecost power, right? That's still to come. He doesn't have direct instructions of, hey, you're the one that's preaching. This is your new job. Now go and do it. What's he been told? Wait. Wait. I don't know about you, but most people, including myself, do not do well with waiting. Because usually with waiting, there's time. Right? And what do you do in that time? That's a good question. Right? That's where Peter is. Peter's like, the one I've been following for the last 3 years is gone. Now what do I do? Right? I had a job. He called me away from that job. He died. He just scared me, right? He gave me limited instructions about what's next, right? And now people are looking to me for answers, and I don't know answers. What in the world am I supposed to do? That's his mental state, okay? Think of it in the same light of if you have had a job, if as part of a vocation, right? You know, a technician, a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever. You have a skill. That's your vocation, right? That's what you know, that's what you're good at. They were fishermen, pick another skill, that's your job. And then you lose that job, however it happens. And you're like, I don't know what I am anymore. Now what do I do? And people are looking to you for answers, right? He's got a whole upper room there filled with other disciples waiting. What are you supposed to do while you wait? And that's where Peter is, all right? So that's why in, if we go back to John chapter 21, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 21. That's why his answer in verse 3, John chapter 21, verse 3, I go fishing. Look, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He was told by God what he's supposed to do, and he's supposed to wait. But he doesn't handle the waiting well. So he reverts back from whence he came, right? Well, before Jesus told me I was supposed to be a fisher of men, I was a fisher of fishes. So I'm going to go back to fishing those. And he does that. But in doing so, he takes other people along with him. Hey, we're going to go too, right? So if we go fast forward a little bit to verse 15, this is the famous discourse between Simon Peter and Christ, right? Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. So as we take a look at this, Jesus asks him, lovest thou me more than these? So the first question is, well, what are the these? The these are part of the 253 fish that he hauled in after following Christ's instructions, mind you. Because before that, he had nothing. Okay? Jesus is asking him this pile of fish. It's not specifically, do you love me more than that specific fish? But it's that job. Do you love me more than the job you had before? Because that's where he came from. That's what he was called out of, right? Before he was given a new vocation by Christ. Okay? Do you love me more than the previous calling you had before? Right? And you kind of think about it. Well, I thought about it in the realm like pastors, right? Pastor Pritchett was here. Now he's in Wanakee. How is his church served if he's always thinking about Madison Baptist? It's not. Where is he supposed to have his new focus? Where he is now called, right? Before that, Pastor Fred, when he was here, where was his focus? Here. When he got called to Reedsburg, what is his new focus? Reedsburg. If he's always looking back towards here, what is his ministry going to be like? Right? So Peter had the job of a fisherman. He's got a pile of fish sitting there. And Jesus is asking him, do you love me more than that? Again, not the specific fish, but where you came from. Do you love me more than where you came from? And what's his answer? His answer is, well, yeah, you know I love you, right? The previous calling that's there. The other interesting trick to that is, why is Peter being called out? There's other guys there. They were fishing too. Why is Peter being called out? Who's the one that started it? Who's the one that said, I go fishing? Peter did. Who's the one that planted the idea in the minds of the other six guys? Well, Peter did. And the other six guys went with him. Okay? The other six guys went with him. Think about what happened there. Who is Peter in the world of the disciples? Right? He's a big guy, right? He's one of the ones that people look to, right? In Pentecost, in just a little bit, in another chapter in Acts, you're going to see him preaching, right? And thousands get saved, right? He's one of the big ones that people look to, including Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other guys, whoever they were, right? So what is Jesus trying to tell Peter? It's like, look, Peter, you're a leader. People look to you. Do you love me and will do what I want you to do rather than what you want to do? Because whether you know it or not, you're affecting other people. Right? We think about that as parents, right? As a parent, are you following God? Why? Because whether you like it or not, you're affecting some lambs, some ones that are just starting out, much like these other disciples. They're just starting out. What does God want Peter to do? To feed these lambs, right? As young disciples, what do they have to do? We have to be strong in the faith, right? As parents, what do you have to do with these lambs? Train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, right? Whose job is that? That's your job, your lambs, you're nurturing them, not somebody else. In Luke, if you remember the instructions back in Luke 24, right? Where was Peter told to be? We made a specific emphasis on it. Peter was told to be in the city of Jerusalem. Last time I checked, the city of Jerusalem does not float. Right? So where is Peter? In the Sea of Tiberias. I don't know if you've studied like word roots or phonetics at all, but Sea of Tiberias and City of Jerusalem, they don't match. Those are different places, okay? I'm just throwing it out there for you, but that's what's there, right? Jesus is quietly telling him, look, Peter, you've lost your focus. You're not supposed to be fishing on the Sea of Tiberias. You're a leader who just led six other people astray. You need to focus back on me and feed my lambs, right? Right now, at this moment in time, your job is to focus back on me and feed my lambs. They're looking to you, okay? As we move ahead then, in John chapter 21, verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. So he asks him the second time, lovest thou me? But this time, his instruction is to feed sheep. These questions that he's asking him seem to have a time frame attached to them. Because I don't know if you know what lambs grow up to be, but they grow up to be sheep. It's not an instantaneous process. There's, again, time that goes on. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to Peter here. It's like, look, right now, you need to get back to doing what I told you to do. If you say you love me, follow me. Love me and follow me right now. Feed my sheep. Time goes by, right? What does Jesus want him to do? Look, Peter, after time, you still need to love me and follow me. Okay? We take a look at 17 through 19. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So again, here Jesus is telling him and giving him these hints here that time is going to pass. Right? He's talking about Peter's death. Right? Titus read this evening about finishing the course. Right? Up to the end. Up to the very end. Not, well, I got close enough. That's hard. You know, I'll just mail it in from here on out. But no. Jesus wants you to follow me right up to the very end. Right? Feeding the sheep. Right now, I need you to refocus. You say you love me. Love me. Follow me. Right now. Feed these lambs. These lambs are going to grow up and they're going to be sheep. Right? There's going to be growing pains along the way. But guess what you have to do? You have to love me and follow me. Right? Guess what? You're going to get old. And you're going to get old. You're going to die. Right? That's the way it works. Time goes by. But what do you need to do, Peter? You need to love me and follow me from way back there to all the way to up here. That's what God wants Peter to do. That's what God wants us to do. Right? He wants you to be in it for the long haul. That's what this whole thing is. The question is the same, lovest thou me, but it's at different stages of time. So one of the things you have to ask yourself is, do you love him? Of course, you're in church Sunday night, you're going to smile and nod and say, well, yeah, just like Peter, I love him, right? But are you doing what you're told to do? Or are you out on the Sea of Tiberias? Right? So we got to get back to, where did God tell you to be? Now, your where to be is different than my where to be versus, you know, Titus's where to be. We're all in different bees, right? But that's what happens. And those places change depending on where God puts you, right? Pritchett was here. Now he's over there. Is he going to stay there forever? Who knows? That's not our job. That's God's job. Just like he moved the fishes around, right? So Peter couldn't catch anything. Peter moves people around, right? All of you haven't been in this church since you were born, right? You were at a different church. You came here. You went to another place for a while. You came here, whatever, right? That's how God builds the body. Right? The body of the church, right? So, that being said, I don't know where you are. I don't know where in the timeline you are. Are you right here having no idea what's happening in your life, scared, terrified, like Peter, and I don't know, I go fishing? Because you don't know what to do. But what did God tell you to do? What was the last thing he told you to do? Get back to doing that, not the last thing you were doing in your flesh. and then stay there. Stay there. Feed the lambs. Go through the growing pains, right? There's trials going from a lamb to a sheep, just like there's trials going from a baby to a teenager and beyond, right? There's stages. But your focus should remain the same, right? If your focus remains the same, what did Jesus tell them, tell the disciples the both times that he showed up to them? Peace. Peace be unto you, right? What are you going to have knowing that you're exactly where God wants you to be, right? Think about Brother Pritchett again, right? First time pastor, new church. I'm sure he is the epitome of not freaking out at all, right? But where did God call him to be? What does he know? He knows that he's supposed to be there. What does that do? That gives you a peace. That gives you a strength in knowing, okay, God wants me here for some reason. So he's going to work his plan through me here. That's his job. I'm just where I'm supposed to be. Each step of the way until he gets told to do something else. Because if you remember, back when Jesus called Peter, what did he say? He said, follow me. What were the last set of instructions he was given? Stay. Right? Those of you who have ever trained a dog, what do you stay? What do you expect your dog to do? Go to the Sea of Tiberias. Right? No, you expect him to be there to do what he's told to do until he's told to do something else. That's what God wants from you. Right? Some may be in that short term. Some may be in the right now. Some may be in that middle, going through the trials. Some may be at the end of the long haul. Right? They see the end of that race. Stay the course. Finish the race. Continue to love him and follow him all the way to the end. And you won't be disappointed. And with that, we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had in your word. We thank you for the example that you've given us with Peter from your word, Lord. We just pray that you'd help us in understanding where we are and what you'd have us to be doing. And what was the last thing that you told us to do, Lord? And we just pray that you'd help us in loving and following you, Lord. Pray now that you'd guide and direct in this time of invitation and have your way in people's hearts and minds, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.